when the pastor sent Jerry and I an email that he was going to be out today, I started asking, you know, God, what do you want me to share? And so immediately he took me to Psalm 92. And I'm thinking, you know, God, everybody has read this over and over. They know it by heart. They can probably teach this better than I can. And he says, read Psalm 92. I said, yes, sir. So I started getting into it a little bit and kind of tell you a little bit how God works with me. I'll read a passage and then he'll stop me on certain things, like certain words or certain phrases. And then those are the things that I go back and focus on as I'm meditating that passage. And when I thought about looking at Psalm 92 and thinking about all the things that are going on in our country today, it's very, very timely. And I think that you're going to see that tonight as we kind of go through it a little bit. And my goal, God's goal, is not to really do a real thorough look at Psalm 92, but to bring out some different points. 91. What did I say, 92? Can I rewind the internet? 91. At least that's what the notes say, right? I guess I better follow the notes. So it's Psalm 91. And what I'd like to do is read through it and then go back and hit some of the things that the Lord shared with me. Okay? So in Psalm 91, it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he has delivered thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy right hand, or right side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I mean, when you just read through that psalm, it just does something to you. I mean, just reading through without any doing anything else other than just reading through it. Okay? So I did that, and the Lord started showing me some things that I want to share with you. Okay? And like I said, we're not going to look at it in a lot of detail, but there's some things I want to pick out for you. Let's begin with verse 91. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, you see, it says, he that dwelleth. The first thing I want to point out to you is you have to make a decision to dwell. God doesn't come and grab you and say, come on, I want you to dwell with me. You have to make the decision to dwell. You have to make the decision to put aside whatever else you are doing in order to dwell in that secret place. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. So that's the first thing that we see in this verse, in this chapter. He that dwelleth. You've made a decision that you want to dwell in that secret place. Okay? Now, the word dwelleth, it means to sit down, to remain. It means to settle, to marry. Okay? How many of you are married or have been married? Okay? You know that when you marry someone, you just don't leave that relationship whenever you like. When you marry someone, you are attached to that person. That is your mate. That is the person you spend time with. That's the person that when everything else is going wrong in your life, you go to that person and you share with that person, because that's the person who's going to help you come out of whatever you're going through. Okay? Dwell it. You see what God is telling us? He that marries me. He that marries me. You see that? Now, we know that the Psalms are prophetic. Okay? The Psalms are prophetic. So when you look at the Psalms under prophetic eyes, you see he's talking about marriage, the body of Christ. You see that? He that marries me. Okay? In he that dwelleth in the secret place. And this secret place is a covering, is protection. Most of the time, you know, we read the word secret and we think it's a place you don't know where it is. Okay, it's hidden. Guys, let me tell you something. Everybody knows where the secret place is. Everybody knows where it is. It's God's presence. Everybody knows where the secret place is. Satan knows where the secret place is. So it's not about it being a secret place. It's about a place that you have to have an admission slip to, if that's a good word to use. Okay? And when I was looking at this, God says, you know, if you don't have my mark on you, you can't come in. If you haven't been washed by the blood of my son, you can't come in. It says those are the things that allow you to come into this secret place. They give you permission to come into this secret place. So that lets you know everybody can't go in. Everybody just can't go in. Okay? Now look at Psalm 31. And let's look at some of the characteristics of a secret place. We're going to look at a couple of verses, and then we'll get back. In Psalm 31, verse 20. It says, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of the tongue. 32:7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Okay? So we see that the secret place is a place of covering. And when I was thinking about that as we were sitting here going through worship, God just brought to, well, pre-worship, God brought to mind, remember Jericho, the walls of Jericho, those who lived inside that wall, that was their protection. That was their hiding place. You couldn't get to them. And that is what it's talking about here. God is our hiding place. He's our hiding place. And this word, it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place, in the hiding place, he who is protected by the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. And this word abide means to rest. To rest. When you know you are covered by the shadows of the Almighty, you're at rest. And we're going to see this later on. You are not pulled in one direction and pulled in the other direction. You are not dominated by fear. You are at rest. And it's because you made the decision that you want to dwell in that secret place. You're going to be at rest. Okay? And see, he even shows you even more what this rest is, looks like. You see this word shadow? Look in Numbers 14 and hold your place here in Psalm 91. In Numbers 14, it's a record that we've looked at before. Remember when the children, when Moses sent the spies over to spy out the land? And they came back with the evil report, and their evil report was that, yes, it's everything God said it was, but, you know, we are not capable of going over and taking the inheritance. Okay? And then in Numbers 14, Caleb stands up and says, "Hold, wait a minute, stop this. Okay, stop this. Look in verse 8. Well, let's go to verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, I just butchered that word, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, and he does, That's the way you read that. If the Lord delights in us, and he does, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense, their shadow is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. See, when God talks about we dwelling under his shadow, he is our defense. Because remember, in when the manna would come out at night, and then as the shadows moved and the heat of the day happened, the manna disappeared. It got rotten and all that stuff if you didn't get out there early enough. When the sun comes out, it melts the manna. Caleb was saying, listen, guys, they have no defense. Their shadow is gone. And God is saying here, I am your shadow. I am your shadow. Okay? And it leads perfectly into verse 2. I hope you got your pencils or pens handy. Okay? Verse 2, it says, I will say of the Lord. What are the first three words? I will say. I will say. Okay, you got your hands ready? I will say of the Lord, God, you are my shelter. That's what this word refuge means. You, God, you are my shelter. And see, I left these lines blank on purpose. Because see, after tonight when you go home, I want you to go back home and I want you to say, God, you are my shelter. God, you are my shelter. You see this word fortress? This word fortress, God is so good. It means net. N-E-T. Okay? Now, think with me. If God is my defense, if he is my shadow, and then he's also my net, how far can you fall if God is your net? And see, the first thing that came to mind when he showed me this was safety net. God is your safety net. Okay? God, you are my safety net. You are my safety net. I will say of the Lord, you are my God. God, you are my God. Number three, that's the third blank. God, you are my God. And then the fourth blank, where it says, in him will I trust. God, you are the only one I trust. You are the only one I trust. When you go home tonight, and I know you're going to be meditating on this message because it's going to be so exciting to you. Repeat these things. These are confessions. It says, I will say. I will say. You know, God, you are my shelter. God, you are my safety net. I'm not concerned about anything, God, because you're my God. I'm not concerned about anything. Because I trust only in you. It's not what I see. It's not what I hear. I trust only in you. Okay? Look at verse 3. It says, surely he, God, will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. This word deliver means he will snatch you away. And I think about Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, where it says he snatches us from the power of darkness. Just as we're about to slip on the banana peel, he pulls you out. He snatches you out. Okay? So in verse 3, this word fowler means someone who uses bait to trap his prey. Someone who uses bait to trap his prey. And God says, listen, if you are dwelling in the secret place with me, I'm going to stop you from getting trapped by bait. I'm going to stop you from getting trapped by bait. Now, let's be clear, folks. Satan knows the kind of bait that will get your attention. Think about that now. He knows what will get your attention. Okay? And so you're just a little believer fishy swimming around, and you see this drop in the water this bait. Whoa, I hadn't had that in a while. Kind of, it's not on my diet, but I hadn't had it in a while. He knows what will get your attention. Okay, he knows what will get your attention. Because, see, he's the enemy of our souls. He's the enemy of our souls. He knows that he can't touch that spirit on the inside. So he touches this. He touches this. Okay? The word noise and pestilence is evil desire to cause calamity. Okay? God is going to snatch us away from those things that want to cause us harm. But think about it, guys. If you're not dwelling in that secret place, if you hadn't made the decision that you want to be in that secret place, you're leaving yourself open. Okay? Verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. You can see the imagery he's giving here of how the mother hen covers her children with her wings to protect them. And we know from John chapter 17, verse 17, that Jesus says, thy word is truth. I have given them thy word is truth. Okay? This word shield is interesting. Hold your finger and look in Amos. And once you find it, tell me where it is, okay? We got it. It's after Joel. And, okay. Okay. It's on page 1105 of my Bible. if that helps. So that doesn't help anybody. Okay. In Amos chapter 4, look at verse 2. And it says, am I in the right place? Yep. It says, the Lord God has sworn by his holiness that, lo, the day shall come upon you that he will take you away with hooks and your posterity with fish hooks. Do you see that? He's going, that's what that word shield means. I'm sorry, that's what that word shield means. It means a hook. It means God is going to hook you. He's going to grab a hold of you. And see, when you are grabbed by a hook, you go where the hook takes you. Okay? That's part of delivering you. That's part of delivering you. Okay? Verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrows that falleth by day. Okay? Thou shalt not be afraid. Now I want to call your attention to something, guys. When God says, thou shalt not be afraid, he's not making a recommendation. He's not making a suggestion. He's telling you, don't you dare be afraid. Because, see, Satan wants to get us with sudden fear. And we're going to see this in a few minutes. He wants to grab our emotions with sudden fear. And God says, don't you dare fear. You have no reason whatsoever to fear. Because I am your defense. I am your shadow. You have no reason whatsoever to fear. So when you get in those situations where this emotion of fear starts to rise up in you, you shut it down. You say, hold up. God is my God in whom I trust. And he says here in verse 5, thou shalt not fear. What's the difference between thou shalt not fear and thou shalt have no other God before me? You see that? When he said thou shalt have no other God before him, you knew exactly what he was talking about. Yes, sir. There's not going to nobody. None. No problem here, Father. Thou shalt not fear. Get that in there. Get it. Don't fear. Okay? Look at Psalm 112. Look at verse 7. Psalm 112, verse 7. It says, he, Neil, Don, Martha, Nina, he, she shall not be afraid of evil, tidings. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Why is he not afraid of evil tidings? Because his heart is fixed. His heart is fixed. Fixed where? Trusting in the Lord. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. That word fixed means you are standing in an upright position because you are trusting in the Lord. Okay? Look at verse 8. Not only is his heart fixed, his heart is established. He shall not be afraid. His heart is established. He is not be afraid. That word established means you lay something on, you are laying something on someone or something. What are you laying on God? My fear. My fear. That's what it means. My heart, his heart is established. Why is his heart established? So he will not be afraid until he sees the desires upon his enemy. And we know who the number one enemy is. Okay? So we will not be afraid. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33. And we're still going back to Psalm 91. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33. In Proverbs chapter 1, in the latter part, he's talking about those who have rejected wisdom, those who have rejected the Holy Spirit, because we know that wisdom represents the Holy Spirit. And down in verse 33, he says, but whoso hearkens unto me, unto wisdom, shall dwell safely and shall be what? Quiet from what? Fear of evil. Do you see that? You're gonna go to bed at night and rest peacefully. If I may say this, all hell could be breaking loose and you're gonna be sleeping peacefully. Because the Lord is your shadow. The Lord is your defense. It doesn't matter what's going on outside your hiding place. Again, get the mental image of the walls of Jericho. Everyone inside the walls, that was their hiding place, inside those walls. It didn't matter what was going on outside because it didn't affect what was going on inside. Wow, that was good. That was good. Okay? When you are in your hiding place with God, what's going on the outside does not affect your peace. It doesn't affect your peace. Okay? Look in, see here. Let's go back to Psalm 91. But I want to make sure I'm getting where I need to go. It says, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Now, that's why I want to go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Nor for the arrows that flieth by day. You see how when you realize that the psalm is prophetic of the body of Christ, how certain things start to make sense? Remember, Paul talked about in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 16 he says, above all, taking the shield of faith, whereby ye may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The arrows that flieth by day. The arrows that flieth by day. Now remember when he talks about there shall be no terror by night? The terror by night that he's talking about is those things that come on suddenly. You get some bad news suddenly. And it causes your heart to palpitate. It just causes your fingers to tingle. It causes your emotions to start welling up in you. That's what he's talking about. And God says, don't fear. Don't fear. And see, when he gave me that illustration, the first thing I thought, what is the number one thing that can bring sudden fear into your life? Barry, you've been diagnosed with cancer. That's the number one thing that just brings fear rushing into your life. Rushing. And you know why? And I was sharing this with Stephen. Because I asked God, I said, God, why do when people hear that they get cancer, they die? He says, because that's what they've been told over and over and over. That when you get cancer, you die. And see, he says, you know, your heart, Your heart doesn't make decisions. He says your heart believes what it is told. So when your heart is told, when you are told over and over and over that you get cancer, you die, you die. And he says, you know how to stop dying from cancer? And these are the words he used. You bombard your soul with the word over and over and over. That's how you do it. Because God says, you know, cancer is no different than a common cold for me. It's no different than a common cold. It's no different than a hangnail for me. But because you have been told over and over, you get cancer, you die, people die. If you want to stop dying from anything, bombard yourself with God's word over and over and over. Okay? Look at verse 9. I'm going to skip a few things down to verse 9. Because like I said, he wanted me to touch on a few things. He says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy building. Now, the thing I want to call your attention to are three words. Because thou hast. Okay? You made a decision. You made a decision. Now, think with me. Back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, after Adam and Eve have eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, like God told them not to, and then they did the blame game, God looks at the serpent and says, because thou hast, remember that? He uses these exact words, because thou hast. Then he said, because you did this, this is what I am going to do. So you do this, I'm going to do this. You see that? Then later in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, he looked at Adam. Come here. Because thou hast listened to the voice of thy wife, i.e., you didn't listen to me, you listened to the voice of your wife, this is what's going to happen to you. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, because you made a decision to make the Lord, which is your refuge, the Most High, your habitation, your dwelling place, the place you spend time, okay? Because you've done that, look at what God does. God says, there shall no evil befall thee. Even there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Who quoted this passage to Jesus? Satan. Do you think it applies to us? Not a trick question. Uh-huh. Okay, not a trick question. Verse 12. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest that thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Now, I put verses 11 through 13 under the same bullet point. God responds to our decisions. The first thing he says, no evil shall befall thee. Now, remember how I said earlier that when I meditate the word, God draws me to certain things? This word befall, it means to walk toward. Okay, it's a combination of two different words. The first one means to walk toward. The second one means to seek an occasion to do you harm. When you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, when God is your shadow, when God is your defense, there's not going to be a terror by night. There is not going to be evil catching you off guard. It's going to be coming toward you. It's going to be seeking to do you harm. It's not going to catch you off guard. Why? God is your defense. God is your shadow. It's not going to catch you off guard. If you're in that secret place and if you are attuned to what God is telling you. Okay? Remember, there's a passage in the New Testament about he shall come as a thief in the night. and you need to be doing this, 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 and this because you don't want to be caught off guard. You know what he's telling you? He can come and you don't have to be caught off guard. But how many times have we looked at that and says, we're going to be caught off guard because we don't know when he's coming? But he told you. He told you. You don't have to be caught off guard. Okay? Now, no plague will come. This is what God's because we made a decision. No plague is going to come near our building. And this word plague means a blemish created by touching or striking. A blemish created by touching or striking. When we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, when God is our defense, when God is our shadow, Satan can't touch us. He can go all around us. He can affect all the situations, circumstances around us. But God says he's not going to give you a blemish. He's not going to be able to touch you. And think about Jesus. Satan could not do anything to him until Jesus said, it is my time. It is my time. Remember that? Okay? Angels watch out for us. Okay? Angels watch out for us, and we are given authority. Why? Because we have made made God our refuge and the Most High our habitation. Okay? Look at verse 14. Well, look at verse 11. Wait a minute. For he shall give his angels charge over thee. Remember, and I'm going to just make a note, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, where it says angels are ministering spirits for those who shall be heirs of salvation. Okay? And then in verse 13, and I need to point this out. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Do you see that? Look in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. You know, the purpose of giving you all notes from time to time is so you can go back and study this stuff out for yourself. Okay? Verse 19. Jesus is talking. He says, behold, I give unto you power. Okay? This word power is exousia. It means authority. I give you authority to tread up on serpents and scorpions and over all the power. The word power is dunamis. All the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Do you see that? He's given us authority over all the power of the enemy. Okay? He's given us the authority. Look in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua left the battle of Jericho. 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 That was just a little interlude while you look for Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, look at verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Do you see the image, the picture he's painting here? Everywhere your feet lands is yours. Every scorpion, every serpent that your feet lands on is done. Now, here in Psalm 91, verse 13, it says, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. Who is described as a lion in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8? Can you be a little verbal with that? I heard one. Who is described as a lion in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8? Satan. What does it say? You're going to tread upon, okay? You're going to tread upon. Remember in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, it says you're going to crawl upon your belly. Talking to Satan, because you have done this thing. We're going to tread upon the lion and the adder. And so what God is telling us, listen, guys, I have given you power and authority over the kingdom of darkness. You have it. I've already given it to you. It came with being born again. Okay? It came with being born again. Hey, you're my son. You're my daughter. I have power over the realm of the enemy. His kingdom is no issue for me. Excuse me. His kingdom is no issue for me. And if you're my son and daughter, his kingdom is no issue for you. Okay? Excuse me. Look at verse 14. What's the first three words? Because he hath. Again, when you make a decision to set your love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. This word, this phrase, set his love. Listen to me. Remember when we talked about earlier about this word dwelleth means to be bound to be married to? This word here in verse 14, it means to be attached to bind oneself to. You don't let go. You don't let go. And that's what God is telling us. You don't let me go. Because you have set your love upon me, because you have decided to bind yourself to me, because you've made that decision, therefore I will deliver you. I will set you on high because you have known my name. Verse 15. And because you have set your love upon me, because you have bound yourself to me, because you know my name, you can call upon me. And guess what? I'm going to answer. I'm going to answer. You can call upon me, and I will answer. I will be with you. When all hell is breaking loose, I will be with you. In trouble. And not only am I going to be there, guess what, guys? I'm going to deliver. So whatever issues you're facing right now, circumstances, God is with you. He's going to deliver you. He's going to deliver you. And not only that, he uses a word that just kind of, I just think about, wow, he's going to honor you. He's going to honor you. And I think about how this, in terms of how do we know when God is honoring us? Just look at what Jesus did. Everything he did shows that God was honoring him. Why was God honoring him? Because, see, Jesus set his love upon his Father. My meat is to do the will of my Father. I don't say anything that my Father doesn't want me saying. I don't do anything that my Father does not want me to do. I have bound myself to my Father. I am in lockstep with my Father. When my Father's right hand moves, my right hand moves. Because I am in lockstep with my Father. Whatever he desires, whatever he wants to do through me, consider it done. I don't even have to think about it. That's why he honors us. When we get to the point that we are bound to him, that we do what he wants, not what we want. When Barry prays for someone, God's healing power will flow through Barry's hands. That's honoring Barry. Do you see that? Let's close this out. Verse 16. Excuse me. In verse 16, Pastor, it's been probably three, maybe four sermons ago, where he talked about how people have made statements that this person, even though he died at 30, he fulfilled what God wanted him to do. Remember that? What does verse 16 say? It says, with long life. Now, notice the next word he uses. It says, will I what? satisfy. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. You know what that's telling me? That long life that we're supposed to live, it's not going to be a long life filled with aches and pains, with one sickness after another. You know why? That wouldn't satisfy me. Would that satisfy you? To live to be 140 and you barely get out of your bed? No. Long life is a sign that God is pleased with you because you are doing what he wants you to do. Okay? Look in Genesis chapter 25. This word satisfy, it means to be full. To be full. Okay? I'll be 53 next month. And I don't think I have lived a full life yet. I don't think God thinks I have lived a full life yet, a satisfied life. I think he's got more in plan, stuff, you know, prepared for me. In Genesis chapter 25, verse 8, I love this stuff. In verse 25, verse 8, chapter 25, verse 8, it says, then Abraham gave up the ghost. Do you see what that says? He gave it up. God didn't take it. God didn't take it. He gave it. Are you seeing what I'm seeing? Abraham says, okay, I've been here such and such years. Okay, I'm tired. Can I come home now? I'm ready to go home. Do you see that? I am ready to go home. He made that call. He gave it up. Okay? Remember, isn't that the same thing Scripture says about Jesus? He says, no man takes my life, I give it. Paul, just before he was killed, then he says, I am ready to be offered up. I have run my race. I have done everything God asked me to do. I'm ready to go home. Come get me. I'm ready to go. Because, you know, we read him being, you know, beheaded and thinking that, you know, it was something that he was caught off guard, that he wasn't ready to go. But Paul says, hey, I have done everything that God wants me to do. I'm ready to go home. And if this is the way you want to send me home, fine. I'll go. Abraham gave up the ghost. No one took it. No one took it. Don't you ever let anyone tell you, well, you know, when that person died in that accident, that was just the way he had to go. No, his life was ripped off by his enemy. God says, with long life, I will satisfy you. Long life. Because the longer we live, the more opportunity we have to snatch people from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his marvelous light. Okay? Abraham gave up the ghost, and he died in what? A good old age. You see that? A good old age. So if there's anyone out there that there are issues that you're suffering with, you don't have to suffer with them. Because God's word says, I'm going to satisfy you with long life. Now see, we have a decision to make. Is God telling us the truth? Or is what we see every day happening going to be our truth? Well, I'm selfish. I want God's truth. Hallelujah. He will die in a good old age, an old man, and full of years, and was gathered to his people. Full of years. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 30. You know, I could not talk about Moses. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 30. And see, guys, please see this. You probably already know what I'm going to read, but please see this. Deuteronomy chapter 30, okay? and look at verse 20. It says, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is what? Thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Abraham, to Jacob, and to give them. See, he wants us to have long life so we can enjoy the inheritance that he's given us. Okay? There's one more, you all have to help me. Remember where it says that Moses died, but his strength was not abated. His eyesight was not dim. 34:7. Thank you, Stephen. It says, and Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. You know why Moses died? Because God says, Moses, you are not going into the promised land. The people are getting ready to go in. You can't go. So you have to die. Moses said, okay. If the people were not ready to go into the promised land, Moses would have lived longer because his natural force in his body was not abated. So you can't tell me that when you die at 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old, that was God's intent. It was in the intent of the God of this world, but not your heavenly Father. He wants you to have a long life and a full life. Okay, one couple more. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 2. And we are winding up. Getting to the end. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 2. It says, my son, verse 1, forget not my law. For us, it's scripture. But let thine heart keep my commandments. Why are we to keep his commandments? For length of days and long life and peace shall they what? Add to thee. Add. See, we serve a God who's into addition, guys. He's not into subtraction. What, you remember the king who was getting ready to die and he asked God, was it Hezekiah? And God gave him 15 more years. He asked him for it. God gave it to him. I don't want to beat a dead horse because he's already gone. Okay? One more verse. Isaiah 65. In Isaiah 65, we're going to read verses 20 and through 22. It says, there shall no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days. Do you see that? In other words, babies aren't going to die babies. Do you see that? I'm not going any farther until you see that. Babies are not going to die babies, okay? Nor an old man that has not filled his years. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. See this, guys. You're going to build houses and you're going to live in them. You're going to access your inheritance and you're going to enjoy them. That's what he's talking about. Okay? That's what he's talking about. And they shall plant vineyards. And what are they going to do? They're going to eat the fruit of the vineyards. Does this sound like poverty to you? Does that sound like financial stress to you? Does that sound like living paycheck to paycheck to you? No. No. And then verse 22. They shall not build and another inhabit. I love that. What you build is yours. It's yours, guys. It's yours. In other words, you're not going to die young and someone else goes and lives in it because you built it. You see that? For as the days of a tree are the of of everything he could have used as an analogy, he uses a tree. As the days of a tree, as the days of a tree are the days of my people. And mine elect shall long enjoy the works of their hands. Does this sound like you are going to be here 30 years and out? When he says, as are the days of trees, the first thing I thought about, remember I guess they're the big redwoods in California? How old are they? Yeah. And God says, as the days of trees, so shall your days be. Do you believe that? John, do you believe that? Nina, do you believe that? Man, so shall your days be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it all starts when we dwell, when we make a decision that we are going to that secret place where everybody knows where it is. But we're going there. Everybody knows where it is. Satan knows where it is. But we're going there. Because when we go to that secret place, God becomes our shadow. He becomes our defense. In other words, in a broad term, he takes care of everything about us. It is my prayer that us getting a little bit into Psalm 91 tonight has created a desire for you to get into it even more. Because I just picked out a few things that God just wanted me to share. There's a lot more stuff in there. And when you understand that Psalms is prophecy, prophetic, about the body of Christ, then things like that really open up to you. It opens up to you. So tonight, remember, God, you are my shelter. God, you are my safety net. God, you are my God. God, in you alone will I trust. Amen.